On this episode of the iFilmmaker Podcast, we're joined by Matt Johnson talking about Sony's new release of the FX6 cinema camera. Welcome back to another episode of the iFilmmaker Podcast. My name is Ariel Martinez. Today, we're having a lot of fun with my friend Matt Johnson. He joins us to talk about Sony's new and latest release, the long-awaited for some people, since they have teased it several months back, Sony's new FX6 camera. Man, this camera has definitely turned a lot of heads, surprised a lot of people, including myself. And like I said in my Instagram, if you don't follow me, this was like a slap in the face to FX9 owners. I am an FX9 owner, and to come out with a camera that is half the price and can do better features, essentially, with better features, it's kind of confusing, but in a way, it kind of excites me. So it has both things there going for it. So in that sense, it's exciting for those that are in the industry and community, seeing that companies are sort of pushing the bar and pushing the limits of what a cinema camera can do. At the same time, I just got the FX9 camera. But as we'll see, we'll explore the idea of Sony sort of releasing some firmware updates to kind of compensate that. I highly doubt that they're going to leave FX9 owners in the dust like this. I'm pretty sure they're going to be rolling out with some sort of firmware update pretty soon. But anyways, I don't want to talk too much. We're going to get into it right now with my man, Matt Johnson. For those of you that are not already following us, make sure you're following us over on Instagram at iFilmmaker Podcast. Myself is at Ariel Martinez Films on Facebook, on our Facebook group chat. Join the conversation and let us know what you think of the podcast. And anyways, let's just go ahead and get into our conversation with Matt Johnson.
How much beard do you want in this shot, though? Do I do like just eyebrows down with more beard, or
I think people have the full beard already.
Let's angle it up there a little bit.
There you go.
Oh my god,
that's
gosh.
One of the disadvantages. Matt Johnson, what's going on, man?
Dude, glad to be here, man. So glad.
It's been a while. We've been busy.
For real, for real. I figured you would have some thoughts about this camera, you being a new FX9 owner.
Oh my god. Your video was the first one that I saw. And I'm like, every comment you made about it was like a jab to my gut. I'm like, oh man. And I just knew. And it was funny because as I was watching the video, your video, I'm thinking, he must be thinking about me. And right then is when you said, I'm going to call my FX9 friends and see if they're okay. And I immediately texted you. And as I was texting you, you sent me a picture of your FX6. Oh man, we're like this, Matt. We're connected, dude.
Oh my gosh, amazing. It's true. It's true. It's real funny. Like the whole time I was making this video, cuz you're one of two people I know personally that have the FX9. And both of you, I was like, as I got the camera and as I'm using it, I'm like, "Oh, my FX9 friends are going to be hurting. My goodness."
Oh gosh. How long have you had the FX6 for?
So about a week. So not a super long period of time. But Sony was like, mm-hmm. "Hey, we got this camera coming out. You wanna try it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do. Oh my gosh, duh." So,
man, I gotta say, I'm very intrigued. Like, I've been excited about this camera also since I even heard that it was going to be coming out. I'm very surprised at how good they made it. But here's the honest truth. And for any FX9 owners listening, I'm almost certain that Sony's about to roll out with a firmware update for the FX9. No logical company, especially one this big, would do something like this where they would just throw us all under the bus. They just wouldn't do that. Nobody would have any incentive to buy the FX9. So, with that out of the way, we'll get to the whole comparison deal. Tell me your thoughts on the camera as you've used it.
Here, well, I can just sort of
Oh, great. Just thanks. Just go ahead and rub it in my face.
Go further back there. There we go. It's so like I don't actually have any experience with the FX9. So I went I had an FS5 for a short while. And so this was like pitched as, you know, like a slightly smaller FS5 with significantly better video specs.
Right.
And it's funny because Sony gave me like a briefing before before they sent me the camera. And right off the bat, they're like, it's basically, they're like, we can't confirm, but it's essentially the same sensor as the A7S III. And that was when I was like, wait, what? Hold up. Just a second here. Cause that's like my new favorite camera. And
right.
For them to have that suddenly in like a cinema camera standard body with ND filters and all the stuff you expect where you can actually rig it up, I was like, dude, this thing is going to sell so well.
It's going to sell like hotcakes for real. Yeah. So, yeah, I've been shooting on the A7S III since I got mine. And, oh, my goodness. I'm actually in the middle of editing a couple pieces that I shot with FX9 as my A cam, A7S III as my B cam. And they match up incredibly well. And keep in mind that I can't even shoot the highest quality because I don't have V90 cards. Mine actually get in tomorrow. So I've been shooting on the regular, HS? It's so I've been shooting an HS, which is not the highest internal in-body quality that you can record. So if that's already doing good, I can't just imagine the H or just S?
They have XAVC-S, XAVC-HS, and XAVC-SI.
SI,
and
right.
And I is the intra-frame codec, which is everything. So that's the one you want.
Right. So I haven't even tried that one. And I have tried the external to the Ninja V. Incredible. Just phenomenal camera all around. I honestly think it's going to, you know, I'm going to stay shooting on the A7S III for just most of my shoots whenever I need one camera. So I hear everyone saying, and I think you said this too, it's essentially an A7S III inside of a cinema body. That's all it is.
Which is not a bad thing.
It's not. It's not at all. Now, man, and then for professionals, anyone that's looking into cinema grade, into a cinema level camera, it has time code in the body. I don't even think the FS5 had that.
Yeah, so you've got actual time code out here. Everything. So
that's time code in and out, right?
Yeah.
Like it has that switch there.
Yeah, you got your switch right here for time code in and out.
Mm.
Right there next to the SDI out. Like it's very well thought out. I think they've done a lot of really good stuff with it.
We have a question here from Scott Johnson. What's the battery life like?
So, I have not done any battery tests on this thing, first of all. I'll tell you that right now. Like I did in the time that I had to make the videos that I wanted to make, I'm like, yeah. I don't have time to do a whole battery test thing. But like this is what I don't even have like a variety of batteries. So they sent me the BPU-60, which it's like the middle one. I think it's not the biggest they have.
Right. That's pretty a standard one.
Yeah, pretty standard. And so it sticks out the booty a little bit here. Not bad. and I've been like all my time shooting with it, I've literally just been on this battery and I don't think it even came fully charged. And I've shot a decent amount of stuff with it and it's still, well, it's telling me it's like execute this thing. Okay, sorry. It's still says I have 100, I still have 2 bars of battery and 109 minutes of recording time left. So I think it's pretty comparable to other Sony cinema cameras in that sense. And I mean, hey, if you want to get a V-mount battery and slap it on the back and you can run this thing probably all day. So that's really nice.
Yeah. So we have a question in here. We have thoughts of the FX6 versus something like the Red Komodo. I feel like they're very different cameras. The thing that does the Komodo have internal ND?
No. I don't believe so.
I know that the Canon adapter that I think you can probably use probably has that, so maybe that'll help with that. But they're very, just very different types of cameras. One is a production camera. The other that has, you know, some sort of autofocus, I think that Red tried to introduce there, but it's just very different cameras. This is, I see this Sony FX6, the FX9, very documentary running gun style camera. Komodo is more for onset controlled lighting type of productions. Very, very different type. It depends on what you're shooting.
I've had a lot of people asking me about that, commenting, saying like, okay, what do I buy now? Do I buy the FX6? Do I buy the Komodo? Or do I buy the C70?
So keep in mind, yes, they are priced exactly the same, but the Komodo, you're going to have to spend a lot more money to properly shoot that camera. Like, it does not come with a proper monitor. It has a little LCD screen where you can see a small picture. There are a lot of really nice accessories, but you're going to be spending a lot more than $6,000 for the Komodo. Yeah. But again, like we mentioned, it is a production style camera.
I mean, and keep in mind too, like, you can literally record to SD cards with this thing. So
it's, yeah,
with Red, it's like, okay, I got to buy the media. I need to deal with have a whole raw workflow. Mm. And this is literally like, oh, I want to shoot just a quick YouTube video. I could do that. Or yes, if I really wanted to do it, I could rig it up with an external recorder for ProRes RAW if I really wanted to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a completely different workflow. And you're right. That's another point that it's not meant. I mean, you could use it for YouTube, the Komodo. You could use it for YouTube, but most will consider that overkill. Mm. If you do, the FX6 is just significantly more versatile straight out of the box. As is. So Tom Cole Films is saying, is it worth the upgrade from the FS5 with the Shogun combo? Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah, that's without a doubt.
I mean, you're going worth it. Well, even with the Shogun combo, like, it's, you're not getting raw then just in camera, but like, you're recording 10-bit instead of 8-bit with a lot of other nice upgrades.
Man, do you have you been able to ask Sony any questions regarding what they plan to roll out with this camera with regards to firmware or even the FX9? Or listen, I know they're coming out with something. They're not going to leave us like this.
Like, I will tell you right now, they have told me nothing. And not like, oh, Matt signed an NDA, they won't tell me anything. No, literally, they've told me nothing. Like, they're keeping that card very close to their chest. But I'm with you. I cannot see them saying, like, sorry, FX9 owners, too bad. And you're like, wait, no, come on.
No way. I'd be very surprised. And I hope they don't take too long to roll that out, man, because the longer they wait, the more tempted I am to just sell it and literally recommend everyone get the FX6. Don't waste your money on the FX9. It's just no reason to do that.
I could see them this is just me completely theorizing here, but if they added 6K recording to the FX6, like actual 6K, because it has a 6K sensor.
I didn't even think about that one, but go ahead.
I think if they did that, I think if they somehow introduced raw recording over SDI, the same as this camera, because
I'd be happy with that.
I know with the FX9, you have to buy the big $2,000 Sony raw recording attachment thing. There's some stuff that they could do, I think, to at least bring it. It needs to be more on par with this and then further in some areas too, I think.
Yeah, it definitely has to set itself apart because I don't think, even Canon, I don't think that no company has ever sort of cannibalized their own product like that, you know? So that's why you can't help but think that there's something going to be rolling out for the FX9.
Well, I mean, you kind of see it with the C70 a little bit in that it has the same sensor as like the $11,000 C300 Mark III. And so I feel like Sony almost had to go with these capabilities and specs because if they did let something worse than the FX9.
That's actually the real competitor is the C70.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts there? What are the pros and cons on each and all that stuff?
Oh man. So I actually have a YouTube video. I did two videos with this camera. I recorded, the other one I recorded, I just finished editing it today. It'll probably be out tomorrow or maybe next week. I don't know when exactly, but it's literally a comparison between the C70 and the FX6. Because that's a lot of wedding filmmakers. That's who my audience is, and a lot of them are interested in those two cameras.
Gotcha.
And I feel, oh man, it's it really comes down to people say, well, the C70 is $500 cheaper. And I'm like, yes, but it's not full frame. And if you want to make it full frame using Canon's adapter, their focal reducer adapter, speed booster adapter, they'll make it full frame. That's $600. So suddenly you're above the cost of the FX6 for that.
How is the autofocus performance on the C70?
So this is the other, that's the other interesting thing. It does not have Canon's dual pixel autofocus 2. It's the first generation dual pixel autofocus, which is still very good. Right. But the R5 introduced the new dual pixel autofocus 2 that includes eye detect autofocus. The C70 does not have eye detect autofocus. So it's still going to be really good. It's going to be awesome. But
got it.
The FX6 does have eye detect autofocus. And I have noticed that in the age of COVID, with everybody wearing masks, face detect has not worked for me, but eye detect has worked for me. So, I mean, depending on how long this is going, hey, if you need like another year of people wearing masks, you could be good with this camera versus the other one for autofocus.
There's a lot of people that are kind of upset with the fact that and I think that the FS5 was the same way, that the FS5 had an XLR on the body as well. It was one XLR in the body, one XLR on the top handle. Here they put both XLR on the top handles. What is that all about?
I completely agree. I think it's a, I don't know what to call it, an oversight or a trying to make the camera smaller so they did it that way. My general thinking about it is people are like, well, you can't record audio with a gimbal then. You know, that's like the main usage scenario is whenever you're wearing the camera stripped down and you want to use it on a gimbal.
If you ever want to do a walk and talk interview, it's harder. You're
going to have to do external. It's definitely harder, for sure. But I say this as somebody that like uses an A7S III on a gimbal and an A7S II on a gimbal, and I never used on-camera audio for that, aside from just like a scratch track that I would then sync up and post using Polarize or something like that. So I feel like, yes, that's an argument. Okay, it doesn't have internal audio recording, but I can also say that that has never affected anything that I've ever shot.
Right. Look, it just makes another obstacle. It's doable. Yeah. It's just not as convenient as if the XLR was on the body itself. I
agree. For sure. I mean, I have a Sony FS100 from 2011, and that has XLR in the body. I'm like, okay, guys, I know there's probably, like, I know it's small, but you could find a little corner here to put one in, I think. I don't know. It's interesting.
That top handle looks really, really nice with the joystick on top. It has two custom buttons on there that I'm looking at.
It's pretty beefy,
Yeah, it looks really nice. How does it feel? What is that?
It's got like rubber on the bottom here. And so it's a really nice, like it's a nice grip, and it's not super heavy either. Like, I mean, the camera stripped down, I think, is like a little over 2 pounds. You add the other stuff, it's a little heavier. It's definitely bigger than the A7S III. I'll tell you that right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing, I'm not used to lifting this much camera. Oh man. Yeah. But
wait till you try the FX9, dude.
Oh gosh, I know. Just shoulder it up here. Like, this thing's small enough. I'm like, I wouldn't even want to have it on my shoulder. Like, it's really nice just to hold it like this, or hold it like this. It's
good. Funny whenever I'm shooting handheld with the A7S III, I feel like so small. Like, why?
Right. Okay. Camera. So let me show you the other thing they sent me that I haven't really posted about.
What's up?
But this here is the Sony 16-35 cinema lens.
16-35. What 16. T-stop is that?
T3.1. So it's a
like a 2.8 equivalent.
Yeah. So it's F2.8, but it's just massive.
That thing is so beefy.
It is. It is huge. So like, even next to like the FS7 here or FX6, you can see it's just like a massive.
Wow.
Lens. They were like, hey, do you want this? Do you want to try this out too? I was like, sure. Yeah, duh. Like, send me whatever the heck you want and I'll try it out. So, it's pretty legit. I would never buy this for a wedding. I'm just going to say that because it is massive, but it has a servo on it. So it'll do, it works with a zoom rocker on the FX6. You can set it to high and low speeds. It's geared for cinema. You get those hard stops. You know what I'm saying? Hard focus stops. Yeah. It's pretty legit.
Does it have autofocus at R or no? It's just straight up cinema. Yeah, does it really?
Yeah, it has autofocus. So like right now it's in manual focus mode here. You can see it says AF MF here. And then you actually slide up the focus ring and it clicks up. And now it's autofocus mode.
So it's like their other servo lenses. They're 24 to 135 or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's the benefit of this one? What are the what changes have they made? Is it sharper glass? Is it a big improvement?
I know nothing. Like,
well, I know that the focal distance. So yeah, I know that the they don't have a 16 to 35 in that form. So that's
they have an
cool.
f/2.8, but this is like their first cinema lens. So I think that this is most likely a rehoused 16 to 35 f/2.8. Their GM, but it's bigger. It has the all the gearing for cinema. The servo is really nice. It's detachable if you want, but you can have it on there. So like if you're doing like more documentary style, you have the zoom rocker right here on this and on the top. So you can zoom it in and out. It's pretty nice.
I feel like it's a really good broadcast lens.
Yeah, it's also $5,000. So
I'm all right.
It ain't, yeah, I know. I was like, they're like, you want to try it? I'm like, yeah, I'll try it. I'm not going to buy it, though, I don't think. It's a little overkill. Little overkill.
$5,000.
I mean, but how many autofocus cinema lenses do you know of?
I don't buy cinema lenses just because it's not for me, I guess. I feel like it's kind of... People use cinema glass for the functionality that they bring to the table, and adding autofocus to it kind of, you could just use a regular G Master if it's the same glass, really.
It's interesting, yeah.
It's very interesting.
I think that there's definitely space for it as like for like rental houses if they wanted to rent it out, you know, like, oh, okay, like,
right.
I want that versatility. I want autofocus sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, but.
Now, with the A7S III, there's the option to use CFast Express Type A cards, but you only really need it, correct me if I'm wrong, you only really need it if you want to shoot XAVC-S at 120 frames per second.
You only need it for two things.
Okay.
You only need it for XAVC-SI.
Sorry.
There's so many options.
I know. My goodness.
Yeah. So you only need it for XAVC-SI in 120 frames per second because it's such a high bit rate. And it's literally recording at 1,200 megabits per second at that point. So it's quite high.
Beefy. Yeah.
And that's in S&Q mode where it slows it down. So like it's slowing it down in camera.
Oh, so you're not really recording. You can't record that with audio?
You can't record audio. No.
Oh, okay.
Not with XAVC-SI and S&Q, but you can still record XAVC-S or XAVC-HS 120 frames per second with audio.
Sure.
And that's what I usually do. The other frame rate that you can't do is 240 frames per second 1080p in XAVC-SI in S&Q. Okay. So those two are like just so high and fast.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So for everything else, a V90 card, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is the deal with that with regard to the FX6? What do you know the sort of codecs and frame rates and all that stuff that you absolutely need a CF Express Type A card?
It's incredibly similar. So my understanding is that you have the option to either do XAVC-SI, which is the same as the A7S III, and that's the same frame rates that require CF Express for that Type A. If you want to do 4K 120 frames per second or 1080 240, otherwise, my understanding is that, and I'm not super expert on this here yet and all, but you do not have all of the same lower codecs available. So I don't believe that it has the HS codec. I don't believe it has the H.265 codec. I think you only have two codecs to choose from. It's either XAVCSI or it's this long GOP. I think it's XAVCSL.
Yeah, so here I'm looking at XAVCI recording modes, XAVCI and XAVCL.
Yeah, L, that's what it is. Those are the two. Yeah,
just
that's it.
I and L. I don't see an SI or HS or any of that.
Yeah, so here. XAVCI is going to be basically the same as XAVCSI on the A7S3. And then XAVCL is probably, if I was to guess, I'd probably say it's most likely similar to XAVCS on the A7S3.
Yeah, it's the 4208-bit codec here. Got it. Have you tested out the slow motion? What does that look like compared to the A7S3?
It looks incredibly similar to my eye. I didn't record side by side, but
sure.
My experience with like the 240 and the slow motion, like it looks very good on both cameras.
And the S Cinetone, what do you think of it?
Dude, it's it's very good. Like, oh man,
you know. That was one of the things I was very excited about with the A7 FX9 when I got it using the S Cinetone. But then when I started recording S-Log 3 in Cine EI and just touching up those colors, S Cinetone does not even compare when you use the full dynamic range and color spectrum that camera has to offer. It's just an incredible image. I just can't go get out of S-Log 3. It's just so beautiful. S-Cinetone is great when I just need to deliver footage to clients and they don't expect me to grade it. But even then, losing so much dynamic range, though, like I hate when I have clipped highlights and I just don't have a choice because there's a window there and I really don't want to clip this stuff. And even then, I'll just opt out for S-Log 2 and give that to the client. But S-Cinetone is nice, obviously, in the right environment. It's really good.
I feel like there's
out of the camera.
I feel like there's a good amount of filmmakers out there that don't feel confident enough to shoot S-Log 3. And then once you add Cine EI mode, they're like, what is this? It isn't even the same with ISO?
Yeah, I apologize to those. Because even, there was a time where, like, I when I first started with S-Log 3, this was with the first A7S 3. With the first A7S camera.
Yep.
Shooting S-Log 3, oh God, it was atrocious. I was like mustard face everywhere. It definitely takes some love. But what I've noticed is throughout the years, it's gotten a lot easier and easier. And now with the A7S 3 or the FX9, S-Log 3 is just gorgeous. You just add that contrast, lower those shadows, put that saturation up, and just start tweaking a little bit. You're getting a really solid image. And I highly recommend anyone to use Phantom Lutz, my man, Joel Famularo has the best Sony Lutz, in my opinion, out there. Phantom Lutz, check them out. You get a discount with my name, Ariel, so check that out. Doing a plug right there. Those are beautiful, like way better than Sony's Lutz for sure.
You're the second filmmaker I know that is talked about those LUTs, so that's good.
Those LUTs are I highly recommend for everyone. Just slap that on and they're good as is, like that. Like if you want to touch up even a little bit, but if you're shooting S-Log 3, those are the LUTs that you need to have.
That's great,
because that's it. Just lay that on top and you're good. You have a solid image. Let me see. Considering how popular the FS7 was and clients requesting the FX7, do you think the clients will start requesting the FX6 or the FX9? That's my concern. That's my biggest concern right now. So again, I don't think that Sony is going to undercut their FX9 lineup. I think that they are going to roll out with something. What that is, you got me really excited with unleashing the full 6K sensor. That'd be a fantastic start to do that. I think, and I could be wrong, Philip Bloom did mention something about because of Sony's codec with the FX9, they can't do 120 frames with their current setup. I'm not sure what, maybe I misunderstood that, but not with the current wrapper. I'm not sure what that is, but I hope that's not the case, but we'll see. At least unleash the raw output through the SDI, which would, I mean, it, I don't think it's still, it wouldn't make their extension unit irrelevant unless people like to shoot with Velox, but then just get, and you know, $2,500.
I'm pretty sure, isn't the raw extension unit for Sony, doesn't that actually enable 16-bit raw? Or is it for still down to 12-bit?
I don't even know. I think it's 16-bit.
Because I know that over... currently over HDMI and SDI on the A7S III and FX6, it's 12-bit. It's not 16-bit. So that could be another argument for the FX9 if you want 16-bit RAW versus 12-bit RAW.
Wait, the FX6 doesn't have the 16-bit RAW?
It has the 16-bit RAW, but as far as I know, I believe it's the Atomos, Shogun, and Ninja cannot do 16-bit RAW. They can only do 12-bit RAW.
Do you think that there's something that they're working on with Atomos, though?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they are. Because they wouldn't build 16-bit RAW if there was no
way. Nobody could record it, yeah. Right.
So I think that we're going to see in a year or so Atomos be like, oh, hey, here's our new Atomos Ninja 6 recorder. And it's going to be, like, you know, slightly better and have that.
Ninja 6 or, yeah, their new recorder. That would be very, very nice. Out of principle, just like Mark Bone, out of principle, I will not buy a $2,500 extension unit. That's ridiculous. That's, come on, guys. That's definitely too much. Tell me about the low light and your experience with the FX6.
I mean, whenever Sony told me, they're like, yeah, it's basically the same sensor as the A7S III. I was like, really? And so I literally took both cameras out there, put them side by side. Same f-stop, same everything.
Right.
And it looks basically the exact same between the two of them. Maybe even slightly cleaner on the FX6, but I was using two. I didn't have two of the same lenses, so it wasn't 100% scientific. But it was both were very, very good, even at very high ISOs. And I know the FX6 actually lets you control the amount of noise that you're noise reduction that you're getting in the image. So... I know that whenever Philip Bloom did stuff with the A7S III, he was recording to an external recorder, so he was avoiding the noise reduction of the A7S III, and then he could denoise it better in post. The FX6 actually lets you turn off noise reduction if you want to. So that's really nice.
That's interesting. I'm getting asked here, the LUTs that I had mentioned earlier, those are the Phantom LUTs. These are the LUTs that I highly recommend. They have them out for the FX9. They have them out for the A7S III. They have the same Phantom LUTs for Fujifilm, I believe, and FS7 if you're an FS7 shooter. So basically all S-Log3 Phantom LUTs, you can get them over at from Joel Famularo. I believe his website is joelfamularo.com. And you could get the LUTs there, and you could use my code Ariel to get, I think, 15 or 20% off, like that. You get a nice discount with my code. So those LUTs are amazing. Anyways, back to the lovely FX6. Oh man, how light is that thing?
Dude, it was surprisingly light for, you know, going from the A7S III, it's definitely heavier, but then for what it is, considering the size, like I was thinking when I first saw it, I'm like, is this thing all metal or something like that? But it's definitely more of like a high quality plastic. So it's
pretty same thing for light. The FX9. Yeah, it's a high quality plastic also.
Yeah. And it's surprisingly, like, it ain't bad. It's still, you know, definitely heavier than like a mirrorless camera, but very, very usable. And
Right.
Something that I would be, feel much more comfortable if I was recording for a long time, run and gun style, running around.
Sure.
I would prefer something like this, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Is there an APS-C mode in there somewhere? I think somebody was asking earlier.
Yeah. Only in 1080p. So that's an area where they're going to I think the FX9 is definitely winning in that area because
I wonder why. I mean, is it because of the lenses that people would rather shoot at APS-C?
I think it just adds more versatility.
That you can shoot with different lenses?
That and also like free cropping, you know, you can crop in and get in tighter.
Yeah, I feel I don't know. Every time my camera crops in, even with the 5K 60 frames per second, 5K, I'm like, man, I don't want you to crop in my sensor. Just stay wide. I don't want to use sensor. I got spoiled, man. I'm telling you, I haven't had ever, you know, the FX9. I had the A7S 2 long time ago. Mm. FX9 is my return back to full frame. Mm. And it spoiled me now. Like, I'm so spoiled. I've changed my entire way that I shoot, just everything. It's incredible. The fact that I don't have to compromise anymore. There are some shots because I'm always so used to with the FS7, like manual focusing. Mm. There's some shots that would take me 3, 4, 5 takes to make sure that I get it. I made sure that I nail that focus. And even then, I need a big monitor to make sure that I can really see the focus. But now with the FX9, A7S III, I don't have to compromise. So long as I see that box right where I need it, I get it in one take every single time. And I don't have to compromise anymore. And I can get even more shots, better shots. So it actually allows me to provide a better service for my clients, which is incredible. It's just amazing.
It's great.
How long do you take it a thing for someone to bring out an adapter for the XLRs? Adapter. What would an adapter look like for the body? I don't know if there's a jack in
there. I don't believe there's a headphone out jack here, but I don't believe
like there's no 3.5 millimeter jack.
There's a tiny little microphone hole right here, but there's no actual headphone jack. So the only way I could really think that they could add some sort of recording thing is there is like a interface that connects down here from the handle. And if Sony was to open up that connector somehow and like make it so you could adapt something to it, I know that the audio is running through the handle here and then down into the camera. So if they made some tiny adapter thing that would work with XLR, I could see them doing that, but that's really the only way I can think they would do it. And
is it possible that audio can go in through the USB-C connection? At all?
I mean, maybe. Who knows? That's a definite thought there. It does have, you know, there's your USB-C down there. So I could see them.
Yeah, I see it here in the picture. Is it a USB-C? That's not a USB-C. That's a micro USB.
You're right.
Oh no. I messed up. Here. Yeah. I messed up. I thought it was a USB-C. There's a remote, man.
There's a potential bummer there. I'm sure they got to be thinking of something, you know? Like I could see something like that. I could see them putting like, I don't know. That would be the best way to do it. It is definitely an oversight for sure, but I mean,
that side handle, how does it connect? Is there a cable, a small cable attached to it?
Yeah, like, so it has a, let me see if I can show you here. You'll see there's a tiny cord running down here to it.
Yeah, just like the FS5.
Yeah, but unlike the FS5, the connector for it, you have this nice rotatability of it, but there's a button release down here for it.
Yeah.
And it just rotates on, so it just pops on. You don't have, I remember, I think it was the FS5. You had to like screw it in, and it was no.
It's just like that, exactly like
maybe
that.
Maybe I was thinking of the FS7 then.
C200, you got to screw it in.
It was one. It's another cinema camera I've used that you had to like screw it in. But this, I love that it just clicks right in and it's adjustable. Yeah, that's real nice.
Yeah, That's definitely I love that about the FS5. It's the same exact function there. So you got a quick question. You already answered this a second ago, but where's the headphone jack? If you could just show that real quick.
So headphone jack to listen is down here on the side. This guy pops off.
And there's the headphones. For people that are watching this, I don't know if you're all looking at it the same way I am. It seems like your video is flipped.
Oh.
So, yeah, it looks like it's a left-handed camera.
Oh, yeah, it's backwards. I'm actually left-handed, so I'd probably love a left-handed lefty camera if it was all flipped. I'm like, this is great. This is perfect. Oh, man.
So we have an awesome question here. What are we using to do our live? Because our quality is awesome. I have a tube light. Ooh. This is just my regular... I have my tube light here just resting on top of both my monitors for even lighting because I'm wearing a hat and I just don't feel like having the shadow over. And then I have the Aperture MC11 at the bottom here for a little bit of downlight. Come on now.
Filling it in. That's nice. This is literally like the room that I record my YouTube videos in. So it's just like it's like three lights are on me right now. It's so overkill. But it's like the Aperture 120D, and then I've got the Aperture MC. No, what is it? The smaller one. And then I got like an LED light doing some stuff on the back. I don't know. I just turn them all on. It's really quick. But
yeah, it's already set up.
Not bad.
Man, so what do you see for the future? What do you think is coming out? Like, is this it for Sony in terms of any like real huge releases and announcements? Mm.
I think definitely for 2020. I think they're like, we're good for a little while. I think everybody's already starting to look forward to, for Sony at least, I think everybody's looking forward to the A7 IV, whatever that is. So imagine like the A7 III, which is super popular. Imagine something for about $2,000, but imagine if it shot 10-bit 4K 60, for example. I think filmmakers would love that. Mm-hmm. And if it had a 24 megapixel sensor, so it's not quite as good at low light, but you can double it as a photography camera. I've heard from so many filmmakers that are like, I do photo too. I want an all-in-one camera. I think that would do it. And that'd be fantastic.
Gotcha. I got to say, I've taken some snaps with the A7S III. It's phenomenal in terms of even the 12 megapixels. I've zoomed in to those images. It's really, really good.
It really ain't bad, especially if you're uploading to Instagram or something like that. Like, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't get hired to do pictures anyway, so I don't need it. But, yes, I get it. Some people want a really good picture camera, all-in-one type of camera. There has to be some sort of give and take. I don't think any camera, any manufacturer would come out with the perfect camera. Even though a lot of people have been kind of pointing at the FX6.
It's pretty great.
It's so close.
I watched a few reviews today. If you watch Matty Hapuya's video, it was really well done. He's got some fantastic B-roll he shot with it, and he's shooting with his friend who's an FX9 shooter. And his FX9 shooter,
I saw Mark's because me and Mark are more similar documentary filmmakers, FX9 shooters. So I watch his stuff. But go ahead,
Mark was freaking out. He was like, this is so good. Dang it. Like,
I started watching Mark's video expecting Mark to like be kind of in my mood. Like he bought two FX9s.
Oh man.
Mark has two. And I was waiting for him to sort of like, man, why did Sony do this and all that stuff? But nah, he was a good sport about it. He said he might even sell one of his FX9s and just get an FX6.
Yeah.
Which is not, I mean, it's not bad. I'm just going to wait and see. I'm not going to act out of emotion as much as I would want to. But
I do think there's something to Sony saying very clearly, like, this is their new cinema line. And so it's like the Venice, the FX9, and the FX6. And so it is very reassuring. Like, you've already seen, I would even put the A7S III up there with it too, in terms of like, if you're shooting with one of these cameras, it's going to look the same across all these cameras.
I gotta say, maybe I should put some footage out there for people to download, but not even shooting XAVC-SI, right? Mm. Which is the highest quality codec that the A7S III can shoot internally. I'm shooting an XAVC-HS, right? That's the second one. Mm. And my goodness, the quality is amazing. And I could definitely see the difference, though, the FX9 for sure. I can tell when you're looking at it at a nice big 5K monitor, but man, it's just such a good image. Such a good image. And don't even get me started shooting externally to the Ninja 5 just because it's just so good. I'm astonished at what they've been able to put into the A7S III. It just demolishes anything out there at this moment right now, so video-wise. So it's an incredible camera.
I'm really happy with mine, I'll say. It's just everything. I'm like, oh, it's great to shoot with now. Like, it's so fun.
Do you see yourself picking up an FX6?
At some point. With the amount of weddings that I film and just that general focus, I've been using the FX6, you know, for like a week now, and I'm like, there's not enough for me here to make me want to switch to go to like a bigger camera body.
Right. And so it really only comes down to, do you need the, I think the only thing for you is you would really just like to have the built-in NDs.
Yeah. That'd be the
but
main
outside
thing.
Outside of that, do you need the SDI out? Do you need the time code? Do you need, what else does it have? It has everything else, pretty much.
It's got a ton, and like, but I don't really need any of that. You know, it's weird. I don't really need any of that. And then on top of that, I mean, it was one thing when, say, the A7S II or A7 III could only record 30-minute clips. And they're like, oh, you got to buy the FS5 at least if you want to record longer than 30 minutes. And now the A7S III will record as long as you want. And I'm like, well, okay, I guess I'll just stick with the A7S III. So for YouTube videos, stuff like that, if I'm doing weddings and YouTube videos, I want a small light setup, and it's just perfect for that. So
yeah.
Zero complaints there.
Yeah, man, it's pretty solid. If you're, that's what I definitely would recommend. You're an A7S III, if you're kind of back and forth, think of this. They're the same camera in terms of image quality, from what I can tell, from what I can see. If you need the extra added features, maybe it's okay to spend an extra, what is it, $2,500 to get the FX6, plus the batteries that are not cheap. But if you really need that, if you guys are looking into stepping into the cinema realm and want to, I guess, get that wow factor from your clients.
Yeah.
But it's really depends on what you're shooting. For weddings, I personally wouldn't do it. The A7S III seems like it's more than capable of handling weddings.
The thought of carrying this, even with it being so small, like the thought of carrying this thing around all day, just for like 12 hours, I'm like, oh gosh, that's a lot.
Well, for Wadapalooza out here, I had to do the FS7 with the Canon 70-200 for 16 hours for 3 days straight.
Oh, man.
Come on.
That's rough. Back in 2018, I filmed this celebrity golf tournament for a friend of mine. And he rented like three A7S IIs, which was the best they could get at the time, and three FS7s. And we shot basically everything on the A7S II. We're like, nah, I'm good. Like, the FS7 is great, but I'm not carrying that around on a golf course all day. No, I'm good. Like, give me the small camera.
Oh, man. No, for me, I mean, it's very exciting to see where things are going for sure.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, yes, as a FX9 owner, I'm ready to see what Sony kind of does to sort of rectify what they just did. but as a filmmaker in general, as someone that cares about the community, I love the fact that they keep pushing the bar, and this is just astonishing to have these kinds of specs in a cinema line camera. It's just fantastic to see that. So that's very, very proud of Sony for that part. So for sure.
You look so hurt when you say that. It's so like just abused.
Do I not sound genuine? I'm trying to be genuine.
You're just so like, I'm really happy that Sony did this, and it's great for them. I'm just so glad. It's like, oh my God. Man.
Oh man. Oh man. No, it's because I have the picture of the camera right here. It just simply reminds me of the FS5. It really is.
But and even smaller. That's the thing.
Is it smaller than the regular FS5?
Yeah, I believe it's a little shorter, actually. It's like an inch shorter, and it might be a little thinner. It's definitely a little smaller.
It makes me think, like, what's inside of the FX9? Why is it so big? Right?
There's a little hamster running around in there, keeping things powered over there. I don't know, man.
What's with the size and the weight difference? And on top of that, it needs an extension unit to process raw images. What's the deal?
My only argument, my only thought about that, because I've been thinking about that a lot, like, why is this so much better? And I think some of it's just, so I feel like Sony's definitely a company that's like, when the technology's there, they release the thing. And last year, that's where the technology was. Here's the FX9. And this year, sorry, the technology's way better. Here's the FX6. Oh. Mm. But I mean, I don't blame them though. To have such a good camera as the A7S III, it'd be really dumb for them to not be like, hey, do you want to put that same sensor in this other camera here? Like, if they'd done that with the FS5, that would have been far more compelling of a camera, I think. But
what do you mean? With the FS5?
And the A7S II, for example. Those came out at the same time.
Sure.
And the FS5 had a noticeably worse, like, super 35mm sensor. Crazy, man.
Yeah, the FS5 image quality internally was just really bad.
It was still only 8-bit, but it was such, like, a big camera. And I'm like, dude, something this big, like, it needs 10-bit. Come on now. But that was 5 years ago. People are like, what do you need 10-bit for? And everybody's like, 10-bit's in everything. My phone's shooting 10-bit. It's fine. You're like, all right, whatever. Crazy.
Oh, man. Well, this has been great. Anything else you think we should know about this camera that we haven't covered? How's the monitor?
I know the only monitor I had to compare it to was the FS5 and the A7S II. Gotcha. And I think it's significantly better than the FS5 and pretty darn similar, maybe a little better than the A7S III. And I really like this little sunshade.
Yeah, that definitely looks better than what the FX9 comes with. I think it's the same monitor as the FX9 from what I hear.
It is.
Which is a nice monitor. I do like that monitor. I'll give them that for sure. So I like that hood. I wonder if I could use it with the FX9.
So I know that this is the only attachment that comes with the FX6, but I'm pretty sure it's the same exact monitor attachment. So if you wanted to use the iCup that comes with the FX9 with this, you could. And
vice versa, I could use that on the FX9?
I believe so, yes. So I think they're interchangeable. If you need some variety there, you got options. Yeah.
That's cool, man. Dude, well, thanks for sharing all this stuff with us. And if Sony ever gives you anything else, don't be afraid to come on and talk about it.
For sure. This is going back, to be clear, like tomorrow. It was like, this has been great, thank you, but they're like, please give us back our camera now. It's like, okay, it's got like not for sale on the bottom very clearly, don't sell this. Like, okay, I wasn't going to, but
when do they start releasing and shipping, and when can the pre-orders begin? Are the pre-orders available now?
I think pre-orders start tomorrow on B&H at least.
It says here pre-orders start at 10 a.m. November 18th.
Tomorrow. And so it should be mid-December. If I was to guess, knowing how back and forth Sony and Canon have been going, they'll probably release both cameras like on the same day, like ship that in the C70. Like, here you go, here's both cameras. It's ridiculous.
C71, you think?
I think we're gonna see the C50 pretty soon. That's gonna be the next. God. Imagine like the C70, some of its specs, but in like a $2,000 cheaper camera, and now we're like, oh, hold up. Crazy, man.
Oh, jeez.
The future.
Crazy, man.
We're living in
the future. Matt Johnson, thanks so much for coming on.
Dude, so live.
Thank you for everyone that joined us live. We're with Matt Johnson here. Who is Matt? The wedding filmmaker. Love this man. Love you, man. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, man. Take care.
All right, buddy. Take care. So there you have it. There is my conversation with Matt Johnson talking about the Sony FX6. For those of you that enjoyed this, please give it a good review over on iTunes. I appreciate that. And thank you everyone that joined us live. That's something that I forgot to mention in the intro of this podcast. We did do this live on our Instagram, on our personal Instagram. So you can go follow @whoismatt over on Instagram. And mine is at Ariel Martinez Films. Also, you can also follow the iFilmmaker Podcast on Instagram at iFilmmaker Podcast. And so this was a very fun episode. Please let us know your thoughts. Let us know in the comments over at iFilmmakerPodcast.com. And for this episode, let us know in the comments what you thought of this episode. Was it informative? I hope that we were accurate in just about everything. There were a lot of other things that was just skeptical and we were just assuming things. But like I said earlier, I'm hoping that this is not the end for FX9 in terms of firmware updates. I do hope that they sort of release maybe 6K recording altogether. That'd be pretty cool. Maybe 6K 120. That would be mind-blowing. So I hope Sony does something really, really nice for us FX9 owners. Thank you once again for joining us. If you thought that this was a very informative and helpful podcast, share it with somebody that you think would get a benefit out of this. I really do appreciate that. We're trying to grow our community here at the iFilmmaker Podcast. And thank you all for joining us live once again. Anyways, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode of the iFilmmaker Podcast. My name is Ariel Martinez. Later.